Can you hear me all right? Please remind me not to touch the microphone. That'd probably be good. Well, welcome to Trinity. This is a great time for us this morning. A little bit different. And unlike John the Baptist standing in a cold river, this Jordan River has like a hot spring. So it's not quite as cold as usual. So I have done baptisms in rivers. I did a baptism one time in a river, and the water was up quite a bit, and I had to baptize a couple of bigger men, and I made the mistake with the first guy to baptize him to my right, which was my dominant hand, and I baptized him to the right, which was downstream. I almost lost him. It was really close. It was very close. And so I baptized everybody else upstream. That way I use the water. And, you know, one of the other things that I told those that are getting baptized this morning, and they're going to hang out for a few minutes here while I share a few things. Many years I did baptisms at a church campout, and we would do a baptism in the lake, which we wanted to do today, but they wanted baptisms before 11 o'clock, and we weren't going to make it on time. So, but we did these baptisms in the lake, and one year I was looking out at the lake, and there were all these clumps of, like, bark and mud and whatever else. I'm not sure whatever else. And there were, like, bunches of them all over the place. And I thought, first of all, I thought to myself, I'm glad I get to baptize, that I don't have to go in the water, you know. And the second thing is I told everybody getting baptized, I said, I figured out what this was. All these things floating in the water, those are the sins from last year of people that got baptized, and they're just still kind of hanging out. So just avoid them as much as possible. So, but I want to share just a few things before we have the baptism, and then we also have communion together. And I know we have a lot of guests, and I'm grateful for you being here this morning. But over the last few weeks, we've been sharing in a series called Sent. And what we've been talking about is the opportunity that we have as believers to participate together in what God has called us to through His Son, Jesus Christ, to share the gospel, we're sent to present the gospel to others. And one of the things we talked about last week is we talked about how oftentimes we can be very nervous as believers about our faith. We can be nervous about sharing our faith, and we encourage everyone that we don't have to be ashamed of the gospel at all. Amen? Amen? And it's important for us to make sure that we are not letting anyone or the culture shape the gospel or shape the message of the gospel. There's no reason for us to reduce it. We don't have to be afraid or ashamed of what we have to share. But oftentimes, the reality is, we have those times where we think of something to say, and then we clam up, and then we think of 100 things to say on the way home in the car, because we were afraid to share. And it reminds me of one time I had the opportunity to sing in Handel's Messiah with a choir. And for some reason or another, I got asked to do a solo. And then even more confusing, I agreed to do it. And it was the second of the main songs in Handel's Messiah. The first one is Prepare Ye. And then the next one is Every Valley Shall Be Exalted. And it has all sorts of runs and all this kind of stuff. And I had practiced and practiced. But I was so nervous. I was so nervous. And in the town we lived in, we had three little churches. Our church, a United Methodist Church, and a Catholic church. And, of course, the Catholic priest was an Irish tenor. And that made me even more nervous. I thought, for sure, there's no way I can sing after him. But he was first. So here gets this Irish tenor. And I'm nervous, and I'm watching him thinking, oh, man, I'm up next. And then he began to sing. And here's how it went. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. And I listened to that. I thought, I can do better than that. So all the nerves disappeared, and I knocked it out of the park when I sang on my turn. in the act of obedience towards baptism. It's interesting, there's a study, a Barna study, that says, the results of the study say that 47% of Christians say it's wrong to share their faith. And I just want to say to all of you and to all of our baptismal candidates, it is not wrong to share our faith. It's not anything we need to be ashamed of or anything we need to hold back on. And I want us to think this morning about the people that God has sovereignly placed in our life. And every time I get the opportunity to participate in doing a baptism, I think it is so amazing, and I'm always so grateful that for whatever reason, at this time, at this place, God decided that I get to be the one to baptize those that are being baptized today. And you don't get to do it. I get to do it. And I'm going to hoard that. I'm going to be a little selfish with that, because the reality is, this is a sovereign moment. For whatever reason, at this time, at this space, at this moment, God has chosen for this to occur. And not only do I get to participate in doing the baptism, you get to participate in witnessing and hearing the testimonies and celebrating what God has done in the lives of those that are being baptized. We also, this morning, besides baptism, we're deciding to keep this day as busy as possible. We're going to have communion. And the act of baptism is an act of sharing our faith. And sharing our faith is giving testimony to what Jesus has done for us and who he is in our lives. But coming to the Lord's table, which we'll do in a little while, is a reminder of the personal need that we all have for the gospel. It's the reminder that as the gospel is being announced through us and by us, we need to continually be announcing and re-announcing the gospel to ourselves. It doesn't matter how many times you've heard the gospel. You need to hear it as many times as possible until he calls you home. And so as we come to the Lord's table in a little while and we're reminded of the gospel, we're also reminded that God is continually inviting us to take the message of what we hear and see this morning and share it with as many people around that we come in contact with. Someone has said, as I embrace the Great Commission as my purpose, my calling, and God's will for me, my career became my avocation, my minor occupation. And evangelism became my vocation, my calling to a career. And this was before I joined a missions organization to work in full-time ministry. This was stated by someone that actually works with Crew, who Brianna Golden works with, is coming to share with us next week. Here's the reality. Many of you, except for those of you retired, many of you have jobs. You have a vocation. But that's actually your avocation. Your main vocation, including those of you that have retired, your main vocation as a believer is to share the gospel. You still have a job. You have one of the greatest jobs on the planet until you breathe your last breath and you hear the words of God saying, well done, good and faithful servant. And I want to remind us this morning of just a few things. First of all, that Jesus commands us to tell others about him. Matthew 28, and Jesus came and said, all authority in heaven and earth is given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. Not only did he command us to tell others about him, but Jesus invites us into the work of drawing others to him. You realize that you carry an aroma. In a good sense, you carry an aroma that actually can draw people to Jesus Christ. And so you have the privilege to invite others to work in drawing others to you or to him through you. And Jesus told the disciples that in the very beginning of calling them when he said in Matthew 4:19, I want you to follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And that's God's call on every one of our lives. In addition to all of that, Jesus sends us on the same mission to seek and save the lost. I don't know if it's a newsflash or not, but there's a lot of lost people out there, don't you think? And you and I are sent. John 20, verse 21 says, Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you, and as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." We have a mandate. We have a mandate from Jesus that was given to him by the Father, and we have the same instructions as Jesus did to be sent to those that are lost. God also sends us to preach to others about Jesus. I'm not the only preacher in the house. Every one of you have the privilege and responsibility and the anointing to be preachers of the gospel. Romans chapter 10 says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." Whether you like your feet or not, and let's face it, some of you have some ugly feet. But because of the gospel, the reality is nobody sees that, because they see the beautiful feet of him who spreads good news. And then finally, God invites us to live as his witness. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 10 through 12 says, "You are witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I've chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor shall there be any after me. I am the Lord, and besides me there is no other. I declared and saved and proclaimed when there was no strange God among you, and you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and I am God." Every one of us has the privilege to be sent. And the reality is, it's possible that some of you this morning don't even know him. And you're missing out on the privilege to not only know, to be sent by him, you're not sent because you don't even have the privilege of knowing him. And today, as you're watching these baptisms, this is an opportunity for you to get to know him. All you got to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, and you can be saved. The early church was birthed by a group of people that said, "What are we supposed to do?" as they were pricked in their heart with conviction. And the message was simple: repent and be baptized, and you'll be saved. Now, we don't believe that you're saved in baptism. We're saved by the confession of our mouth and what we believe in our heart. But what we do believe is that everyone that's being baptized today is expressing to you a testimony that says, "Jesus Christ is my Lord. And for the rest of my life, I am sent with good news. And I have beautiful feet that bring a testimony of his goodness and his sovereign work in my life." Would you take a moment with me as we pray together for those that are being baptized, that God would anoint them, fill them with the Spirit, refresh them, wash away all their sins, and let them walk from this place in newness of life. Would you join me as we pray? Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have this morning. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to be messengers of the gospel. We pray for anyone that needs to know you this morning, they would come to know you. And Father, we pray for everyone that's being baptized. We pray that you would anoint their testimonies, that you would bless them, Lord, with a message that always has the possibility of changing people's lives. We thank you for this privilege to be witnesses of this event. We give you praise, we give you thanksgiving, and we give you honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So this morning we have six baptisms. One couldn't happen because I wanted to share with you just so you can be praying. Emma Wade was going to be baptized, and her dad, Joe, was going to help. But Emma's great-grandmother is getting ready to pass into heaven. And so they're waiting and are with her, and so we'll have to arrange another time for Emma to get baptized. But we still have the privilege to baptize 6 different people this morning. So let's begin, all right? We want to begin with Donna. Donna Murphy's going to come. This morning, I'm going to ask you a couple questions, and after I ask the questions, I'm going to pray for you, and then I'll baptize you. So the first question is, have you expressed your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord? You need to say it a little louder.
Yes.
And are you being baptized today as a confession of Jesus as your Lord and doing it in obedience to Him?
Yes.
So we want to, would you all extend a hand to Donna as we pray for her? She was baptized at one time, but she realized she wants it to mean something. And so, Lord, we pray this morning that this baptism this morning would change everything in Donna's life. We pray that everything would be new, that she would experience life change like she's never known it before. And we pray, Father, that you would place an anointing, fill her with the Holy Spirit in this moment as she's baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. Donna, it's my privilege to baptize you into the fellowship of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I have such a smart administrative assistant. She said, let me laminate these things in case you drop them in the water. So our next baptism is Margie Minotti. So Margie, one of the testimonies that Margie shared as we were talking about baptism was everything in her life has been different because of Jesus in her life and being part of Trinity Christian Chapel. So that's a testimony to all of you guys. And so, Margie, this morning I want to ask you a couple questions and I'm going to pray over you. This morning, have you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I have.
And are you being baptized as a sign of your obedience to Him as Lord?
Yes.
Okay. Would you extend your hands to Margie as we pray for her? Father, we thank you for the privilege we have to baptize Margie. We thank you, Lord, that life has been different for her because of you being involved in her life and for the privilege she has to be part of this church family. We pray for blessing over her life, that you would continue to change everything, make everything new. And even with baptism, we pray that colors of the sky, the colors of flowers, things around her in creation will be even more vivid and more real to her because of the Holy Spirit quickening things in her life. We bless her this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Margie, it's my privilege to baptize you, cover your nose, into the fellowship of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Got baptized just walking in. So this is Liam and Jack.
Can you see everybody? They're getting ready to swim.
They're just having more fun than anything else.
So which one wants to go first? You're going to go first? Well, you guys need to switch places then. That'll be fun. Come on. Swim around.
They're having a lot of fun up here.
I think it's over. We're just going to let them stay and just... So, Jack, you ready to get baptized?
Yep.
Okay, I have a couple questions for you, and then I'm going to pray for you. So my first question is, have you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
And are you being baptized today as a sign of your obedience to Him as your Lord?
Yes.
Okay, can we pray for you?
Yes.
All right, extend your hands, please, as we pray for Jack. Father, we thank you for Jack. And we thank you for the privilege that we have baptize him today, to baptize his brother. We pray that you would, at this young age, they have a calling on their life. We know from their testimony that great things are in store for them. We pray that you would bless them. Bless him in the name of Jesus. Amen. So put your hands over your nose. Okay. Hold on, I'm not ready yet. So, Jack, my privilege to baptize you into the fellowship of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay. Switch places. Hank, you want to get out?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to read something real quick. Can you hang in there for just a minute? This was written by their mom. Jack and Liam have been precious to us, our special twins, whom at one point we weren't sure were going to be with us today at 8 years old. After bearing them and giving birth to them, we had a significant scare and hospital stay shortly after they were born, and once feared that they may not survive to spend their lives here on earth with us. In fact, both myself and my husband have been considered miracle babies, so according to the odds and probability, none of our children should be with us today. But by the grace of God, here they are, and here we are. And because our very good Father makes his power perfect in weakness and does exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, today Jack and Liam believe and they want to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. To recall God's comforting promise to Isaiah, and as for me, this is my covenant. My spirit that is upon you and my words that I have put in your mouth shall not depart out of your mouth or out of the mouth of your offspring or out of the mouth of your children's offspring, from this time forth and forevermore. And Jesus reminds us, Jesus called them to him, to himself, saying, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to them such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it today. So today, I thank our Lord for the gift of the life of our boys, for the privilege to love them, and for the blessing to witness the receiving of Jack and Liam as God's beloved covenant children, as they believe, are eager to glorify God with their lives, and are baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And a lot of you at Trinity know that Jack and Liam were prayed for by you, and today we have the privilege to witness this miracle. So I have a couple questions for you, Liam. Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
And are you doing this baptism today as a sign of obedience to him as your Lord?
Yes.
All right. Let me pray for you. Extend your hands, please. Father, we pray right now for Liam. Thank you for his life. Thank you for the miracle of the life of he and his brother. And as we baptize his brother, we baptize Liam right now and anoint him. The gifts and calling of God are irrevocable, and the callings that you've put on his life, we pray, Lord, that you would release those callings and raise him up as a man of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Cover your nose. Liam, it's my privilege to baptize you into the fellowship of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All right.
Next, we have Aaron Dombrowski.
I was baptized here in this tub maybe 20 years ago. Since then, I got lost in the world a little bit. I made a lot of mistakes. And I've since decided to turn all that around and follow Jesus and do what he wants me to do for the rest of my time. And the joys that it has brought me are uncountable. So that today this is a tribute or a symbol of rebirth, renewing, getting myself back to God again, and just washing away everything that made me unclean.
So, Aaron, I have a couple questions for you. You kind of already expressed it, but you obviously received Jesus as your Savior and Lord.
Yes.
And you're doing this baptism today as a renewal of your obedience to him as your Lord.
Yes.
So let's extend our hands towards Aaron as I pray for her. Father, I thank you this morning for the testimony of renewal and reconciliation. No one is outside of the grips and the hand of the Father. And we thank you, Father, this morning for restoring Aaron. We thank you for the privilege of being part of this restoration process. And we pray that as she pivots, she literally walks in the act of repentance, going one way and turning around and going the other direction, that you would continue to cause her to flourish. We pray, Father, for favor. We pray for a release of the Holy Spirit in a fresh new way. We pray for anointing. We pray for insight and wisdom as she has never experienced before. We pray, Father, that as she looks at your word, that the words would just jump off the page, that you would give her an excitement for the gospel and for you that she's never experienced in her life. And Father, we pray that you would continue to use her as a testimony in the ministries that you have placed her in this church and in her job. Lord, we pray that she would be a messenger of the gospel. Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So turn this way. Put your hands over your nose. Aaron, it's my privilege to baptize you into the fellowship of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Too fast. Yeah. I'm glad it's warm. So, this is Grace. This is Aaron's daughter, Grace. And I love it when I get to baptize with children with their parents. And Grace has received Jesus Christ as Lord.
Yes.
You doing all right?
Yes. I'm doing awesome. Amazing.
And so, Grace, I have a couple of questions for you that we're going to pray for you. Have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Can I say it louder?
Yes.
And are you being baptized today as a sign of your obedience to Jesus as your Lord?
Yes.
All right, let's pray. Extend your hands, please. Father, we pray for Grace this morning. Pray, Father, that you would bless her with an outpouring of your love, with an overflowing of joy, with a peace that passes understanding. And we pray, Father, that you would call her to yourself, and that as you call her to yourself, that you would give her gifts, you would equip her to be used by you. We pray that you continue to help her to be the joy that she is to her family. And
We thank you, Lord, for her name, Grace. And we pray that you would bless her to bring grace everywhere that she goes. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. So place your hands over your nose.
Praise Jesus.
Getting excited out there, that's right.
That's it.
All right. Grace, it's my privilege to baptize you into the fellowship of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.